This episode of the Business Architecture Podcast is a special one. I had a lot of fun doing this one, actually. It's a video session, so I screen recorded my iPad. So there is a video version. If you'd like the link to that on YouTube, I'll put the link in the description for this podcast. But this audio version is literally the audio version of the video. And we go over the five key assets that form business architecture, which is philosophy, positioning, product, sales, and fulfillment. And we go over those and I explain the entirety of the architecture and the business system that has to exist in your business so that you can continue growing it, you can continue scaling it, you can continue driving more value into the marketplace, whichever is your option. You can continue to do that. We dive into the system that allows you to do that. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. G'day, I'm Kevin Sanders and welcome to the Business Architecture Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about all things business architecture so that business owners can truly get on the front foot and start creating more time in their life to do the things they want, build reliable cash flow to do those things with, drive scalable value into the marketplace while allowing them to step back and ultimately architect the business of their dreams. So without further ado, let's get into this next episode. Hello and welcome to this video. This is the explainer video for the business architecture map that I put in the Business Owners Building Great Businesses Facebook page. Thank you for joining me on this video. Like I said, I would put this video up breaking that picture down because obviously there's quite a lot going on there. The more gold that we can start to extract out of these things, the higher the amount of focus and clarity we can start to create for ourselves as business owners moving forward. And when we're creating focus, obviously that's opening the door for us to be productive in what we're doing, which is always a great thing. But I did record one of these earlier. It didn't work out very well. Most of my day with things like recording videos and stuff like that hadn't worked out very well. I did do a Facebook Live, which worked well, which I'm thankful for. But here it is. Here we are. I fixed the problem, by the way. The mic had a dodgy connection. But here we are. So this is all about business architecture. And what the whole idea behind business architecture is that it's not about the day-to-day running operations tactics of the business. It encapsulates all of that. It actually guides it from a strategic level. But it's the business architecture is not about how do we set up the tactics of the day. How do we use technology pieces and all that sort of thing. All of that gets encapsulated and draws itself out when we've established that higher strategic view of our business and how it's being built. Business architecture is all about building business assets, not physical assets as in machinery and equipment and all that sort of thing. Business architecture is about building business assets. So what we want to do, and I often ask business owners when I meet them for the first time, I'll ask them something along the lines of, hey, what would you like to do with your business long term? Like what down the track, go further than the short term sort of goals that we might have. Long term, what's it all about for you? What do you want to do? And a lot of the time will either come back with something like, I want to pass it down to my kids, or I want to step back and put someone else in charge, or I want to take it to market and sell it. Or the rare one will actually say, I want to float it publicly, which is obviously a whole other conversation, which we'll talk about another time. But regardless of where you want to take the business long term, regardless of what that actually looks like, what we need to understand very, very clearly is that there is one common theme that appears in all of that. And that is what business architecture is all about. So regardless of whether you want to step back, put someone else in charge, pass it down to your kids and retire and remove yourself altogether, sell it to someone else and remove yourself or float it publicly, you have to remember that the very thing that's driving the facilitation of any of those outcomes is the ability for the business to be able to operate by itself. And it will operate by itself based on the architecture that's been built into the business, which is what business architecture is all about. It's like if you were to, consider buying a house, for example, we need to understand that when you're buying a house, You'll go in and you want to make sure that the house has been well built. And if you want to pay a lot for it, you know, if you're being asked to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for this particular house and it hasn't been built very well, and you can see cracks and foundations of concrete foundations are cracking and the walls are cracking and, you know, the roof's falling off and, you know, driveway looks terrible or whatever it might be, it's really important to understand the fact that if it's not really well built, it won't be very, very valuable, and you won't be able to, you know, you won't be able to do much with it. If you're the owner of that house, you have to build the house. You have to fix it up. You know, otherwise, people buying it won't want to have much to do with it. And if they do, they'll be driving you into the ground for it. So business architecture is about building and architecting a very, very well-built business that can make sure that, you know, the time that you're putting into the business is actually well spent. That's the whole idea. You know, obviously we spend hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years in our business, building our businesses. We want to make sure that's a good use of time. If you're running east looking for a sunset, unfortunately, you're not going to have a good day. You'll be doing a lot of running, which is probably good for your health, but you know, you won't get to your sunset. So the whole idea is going, okay, when we're thinking about your long-term goals and looking at what you want to do with the long business long-term, you know, obviously, and by the way, if you haven't had the opportunity or haven't taken the opportunity, or hadn't been aware of the opportunity to explore what that could look like in our current climate, it might be a good time to do that. Because either way, what we need to do is go, all right, whatever that long-term outcome is saying, it's going to dictate how we spend our time in our businesses now. And so we want to make sure that, you know, through business architecture, the time we spend in our businesses is a good use of time. The other thing about business architecture is it allows us to reliably grow and scale our business. We can effectively pack it into a suitcase. If you want to scale, we can take it to a new location, drop it down on location and essentially open it up and unpack it. If scale is not a part of your strategy, then you can grow, and you know, being able to do more business in the one location perhaps. Or if you don't, you know, if you're happy with where the business is at right now, maybe it's about taking a holiday and taking some time away from the business to recharge, but doing so that you can still do that and have the business run reliably. You know, taking time away for a holiday is not very nice if you're having to think about your business the whole time you're away. You might as well just stay home and continue doing what you're doing. So the whole idea, like I said before, business architecture is about building assets in the business assets, because business assets will drive income. So business assets will drive income. If you haven't written that down, I'd be suggesting to write that down. Business assets drive income. It's like a house. You want to achieve rent from said house. You have to have the house as an asset first sitting there before you can achieve the rent. If you don't have the house, you'll have a tough time getting rent. So we need to build the asset first in the business before the income will come. So I'll go through this quickly. Obviously, here's a gender neutral, politically correct representation of a human being in the form of a stick figure. And that I've given a label is you. And so your job, your mission is to run this thing called your business. Now your business, you may not necessarily have a place, an office, a building or whatever it might be. You may do, but not everyone does. For the purposes of this demonstration, this is just to represent your business. But what you're essentially doing, the one thing we do have in common is that we want to communicate to a bunch of people. Now, there's a bunch of people, you know, however many people exist in your market. This is what we call this. This is your market. Right, and what you need to do, you as the business owner, you need to communicate something to this market. These are the people that sit in your market. Now, obviously, they're sitting there in your market because, you know, they've got the problem that you solve, or they're interested in the thing that you sell or whatever it might be. So these are the people you actually want to work with, and they are in your market. I have to remember they are human beings, and so they do have hearts, they do have feelings, you know, that sort of stuff, as do you. And so what you need to do is be able to communicate with them in a way that allows them to afford you their attention. You're not trying to drag their attention. You want them to afford you their attention. So that's a little sort of subtle mindset around how we communicate with the market. It's all about a relationship economy. We're not in a sales economy, like I've said before in other videos and platforms, but we want to build a relationship with the people in our market because people aren't interested in being sold to. The more you try and sell, the more likely you are to drive a sale away because people are very sensitive to the fact that sales is a thing and they don't tend to like being sold to. And so building a relationship is the way to go. So we want to be able to connect with those people in such a way that it allows them to afford you their attention. And how we do that is by what we call building brand. And one of the pillars of brand is something that we call philosophy, right? So this is actually asset number one, philosophy. Now, this is essentially your philosophy. This is the essence of what you're about. This is the core of who you are. And your philosophy, like I said, underpins your brand. People will build a relationship with your brand and not your product. And like I said, it's a relationship-based economy. So when you've got your philosophy forming, we're starting to form some brand now. People are beginning to become interested. Your philosophy tells them why they should care, right? So philosophy tells the market why they should care. And when the market, people in the market, they start to care, they'll start to ask a question. That question then triggers a response from you. It should trigger a response from you. This is why I do what I do, and this is how I do what I do. Right, so here's your response, and this is what we call positioning. Here, right? So this is now coming into the second positioning, right? So positioning tells people exactly why they should talk to you, right? So philosophy tells them why they should care. Positioning tells them why they should talk to you. So I often ask business owners, how do I position you? Which is to say that I know a lot of people that would potentially be an ideal client for you, but how do I introduce you? What is it that I've got to say that makes it an absolute no-brainer decision as to why they should make that meeting happen and why they should actually talk to you in the first place? So positioning does that. You know, you've got to talk to John because John is bang, 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 that. It's not about an elevator pitch or a sales pitch, 60-second pitch and those typical kind of sales tactics. Like I said, it's not a sales economy. Therefore, pitches don't really tend to work a whole lot anymore. That's very 1990s America. And, as you would know, we're not in 1990s America. We're looking to build relationships. So staying away from sales pitches, elevator pitches, 60-second pitches, and those sorts of things is my advice to business owners. But rather, let's position the next step. Let's position who you are and what you do, not pitch who you are and what you do, because the positioning then allows them to afford you more of their attention, the market. So when they've got positioning and you're able to accurately describe who you are and why it is that they should speak to you, what you can then do is go, hey, I have a thing, and that thing is called a product. Right? Now, this can be a transactional agreement here. There can be some money exchange hands in this process here. But it is not a part of your sales process. It is a part of the leadership process and a relationship building process. The intent should not be to sell, right? But the intent should be to sell into this next thing here, which is your second product here. And I'll just move this up. This one can lead to an even bigger product. This might lead to an even the next product down, right? And so what this does is now we have what we have as our sales process. So this here is what we call, it's our third asset, which is our product. Now with your product, if you've got a physical product that you sell, easy enough. Here's the physical thing, buy it. You can show it to them, they can hold it, they can smell it, they can rub their face in, they can do whatever they want with it. But if you offer a service and there is no physical product, it's a little bit harder. So what we need to do in this instance is productize your service. That is to say, take your service and turn it into a product. It may not have a physical representation, but it is a product, because you have to remember that when people are coming through this, they're asking one main question, which is, what am I buying? So you need to be able to answer that and demonstrate an answer to that through your products. And unfortunately, look, services work well, but services tend to be attached to the person that's delivering the service, and that is usually the business owner. And that's not a great position to be in if you want to take time away, if you want to sell it, or if you want to sell the business, or if you want to, step back or whatever it might be. So what we need to do is productize your service. Here's your products. So we might have, you might have your first one, your second one, your third one, and your fourth one. You could have others, obviously, but this is your product architecture, your third asset. And this is obviously now your fourth asset that we concentrate on, which is your sales asset. Your sales asset is an extension of your product and your positioning and your philosophy. It is not a, cash grab asset. Although, cash grab can be a decent result of it. Obviously, we need to make money. We're in business. But if the intent is to make money, then we run the risk of driving sales away. And the whole idea of the sales process is to nurture them along. And then these people, our clients, they end up really loving what you do. So here's the love hearts, that's their feeling, all right? And we call this, the whole idea of this is to leave them feeling fulfilled, right? So fulfillment, fulfillment is the fifth asset that we build. And so the whole idea is you want your clients leaving you feeling fulfilled, and you also have to fulfill the promise that you made when you sold the product or led them through your product architecture. So, the fulfillment's obviously one of the most important assets. People may not necessarily remember how you act, what you say, and what you do. But they will damn sure remember how you made them feel, which is obviously an experiential piece of what you do. So fulfillment is an experiential asset. Commonly, I'll use the example, if you think of a loved one or a pet or something that you might have lost in the past, you may not necessarily remember the things they did and said, but you absolutely will remember how they made you feel. And so fulfillment is all about leaving them in an experience that's leaving them feel amazing, leaving them feel fulfilled. Because when that happens, what they can start to do and what we can start to ask them is to go up and go, hey, and for people who are interested in referrals and getting referral business, which is obviously a great way to do it, but then you can ask the referral question, which is not, hey, do you know anyone else who wants this? That's not a good way to ask that question. The way I would ask that question is, hey, John, hey, Mary, you've obviously come this far, or you've achieved this, or you've been able to manage yourself through this. Reference the results that they've gotten, but go, hey, John, hey, Mary, would you happen to know anyone else just like you who had the same problem? Had a sore leg or had no money or needed to grow their business or whatever it was, just like you, that could benefit from doing this as you have. And so when you can contextualize and be specific with that question, what we can start to do is then go and use positioning again. And this is obviously in a referral sense, right? So in positioning, we highlighted the exact language, the right language, the correct language that describes who you are, what you do, and why people should talk to you. What we do then is teach people how to do that. That then lays the referral system, the foundations for the referral system to start to kick off. And then when people go through and they talk to people in the market, because birds of a feather, of course, they flock together. People like people who are like them. And so when you're talking to someone that you've been able to get results for, there's a good chance that they'll know other people just like them who you can also get good results for. So they'll start using your positioning and the language that's been taught to them to talk to other people in the market here. When they're interested, of course, they'll come and ask a question. You'll then explain why and how. That is your positioning coming through. When they're positioned well enough, then you can start to lead them to your product architecture. Your product architecture will then take care of them and nurture them through your sales process, which then allows them to step through. And when they come out the other side, obviously they become fulfilled. And when they're fulfilled, then we can teach them how to talk about you. And when they're talking about you, then they'll go up and talk to people that they know, and round and round and round and round and round you go. So this is a literal business system. This is business architecture. There's those five main pieces of architecture. The one little other piece here is that obviously you'll get the, you know, what people can call a unicorn. And the unicorn will just go, I don't know what you do, what how you do it exactly, but I'm in. And so they'll just likely want to come straight in, which is fine. No need to delay a process unnecessarily. But the whole idea is that now this starts to build the business in such a way that it starts to do itself. It operates itself. It runs itself. Obviously, it still needs you there to run it and architect it and continue to move it and shake it and groove it. But it lays the foundation with which you can start to build your business. Now, there is a five-step process that I do run through. Obviously, we've just hit 20-minute mark, but there is a five-step process that I do run through, which I'll do in another video, that takes you through how to come up with these assets, how to actually form them, how to implement them, how to actually scale them, so that, you know, we can really make sure that you're getting the time back to do what you want to do. You're actually developing ways and means of reliable cash flow. You've got predictability in your business, and ultimately you continue on to build the business of your dreams, because that's the most important thing we need to be focusing on in this journey and game of business. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this in the group. This is the breakdown of business architecture. I'll post it in the Business Owners Building Great Businesses group. I might also post this on YouTube. For anyone who is not a part of that group, who's watching this, please, you know, look us up, find us, you know, join the group. There's heaps of amazing people and amazing businesses in all sorts of industries in this group. You know, it's a great community. We're all there to rally around each other and support each other. So come along, join in the fun. Business isn't always fun, but we can always play. And that's the part that I like the most. It is a game. So I'm going to post this up. If you've got any further questions, please just reach out. You can send me a DM, find me on Facebook, whatever it might be. But take what you need from this and start to work on it. And, you know, one step at a time, you know, little by little, we build our power. One brick by one brick, by one brick, eventually the wall gets built. So and that's not a reference to Trump or anything like that, but you get the analogy. It takes one step at a time to be able to do this, but the idea is to get started, and that's often the hardest bit. So I'm going to post this in the group. Please provide feedback. Please ask questions. Please message me if you do have questions. And, you know, let's all get in and pitch in and help each other and build the businesses of our dreams. I'll speak with you soon. Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Architecture Podcast. As the owner of a business, I've got no doubt that you will have figured out that knowledge isn't actually power. It's potential power. And the most powerful thing we can do with knowledge is to take action with it. So with that being said, as questions have come up for you around how to take any action with or implement anything from this episode, please feel free to connect with me and I'll do my very best to answer those questions for you. You can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Kevin Sanders, or you can look me up in my profile, which is Your Excellence on LinkedIn as well. Also, don't forget to bookmark or favorite this podcast so that you can be made aware of when a new episode goes live. And of course, if you happen to know any other business owners that are doing it tough, they're frantic, they're anxious, cash flow poor, or on the other side of that, they just really want to unleash their business, please do a good thing and share this with them so that they can get the benefit from it too. I don't bite, but I do grow businesses. So I look forward to speaking with you soon.